Chapter 124. England, he has come to take care of you. Here is Major Dobbin. Mr. Sedley started up, shaking a great deal and gathering up his thoughts. Then he stepped forward and made an old-fashioned bow to the Major, whom he called Mr. Dobbin, and hoped his worthy father, Sir William, was quite well. He proposed to call upon Sir William, who had done him the honor of a visit a short time ago. Sir William had not called upon the old gentleman for 8 years. It was that visit he was thinking of returning. He is very much shaken, Emmy whispered as Dobbin went up, and cordially shook hands with the old man. Although he had such particular business in London that evening, the Major consented to forego it upon Mr. Sedley's invitation to him to come home and partake of tea. Amelia put her arm under that of her young friend with the yellow shawl, and headed the party on their return homewards, so that Mr. Sedley fell to Dobbin's share. The old man walked very slowly, and told a number of ancient histories about himself and his poor Bessie, his former prosperity, and his bankruptcy. His thoughts, as is usual with failing old men, were quite in former times. The present, with the exception of the one catastrophe which he felt, he knew little about. The Major was glad to let him talk on. His eyes were fixed upon the figure in front of him, the dear little figure always present to his imagination and in his prayers, and visiting his dreams wakeful or slumbering. Amelia was very happy, smiling, and active all that evening, performing her duties as hostess of the little entertainment with the utmost grace and propriety, as Dobbin thought. His eyes followed her about as they sat in the twilight. How many a time had he longed for that moment and thought of her far away under hot winds and in weary marches, gentle and happy, kindly ministering to the wants of old age, and decorating poverty with sweet submission as he saw her now. I do not say that his taste was the highest, or that it is the duty of great intellects to be content with a bread-and-butter paradise, such as sufficed our simple old friend. But his desires were of this sort, whether for good or bad, and, with Amelia to help him, he was as ready to drink as many cups of tea as Dr. Johnson. Amelia, seeing this propensity, laughingly encouraged it and looked exceedingly roguish as she administered to him cup after cup. It is true she did not know that the Major had had no dinner, and that the cloth was laid for him at the Slaughters', and a plate laid thereon to mark that the table was retained, in that very box in which the Major and George had sat many a time carousing, when she was a child just come home from Miss Pinkerton's school. The first thing Mrs. Osborne showed the Major was Georgie's miniature, for which she ran upstairs on her arrival at home. It was not half handsome enough, of course, for the boy, but wasn't it noble of him to think of bringing it to his mother? Whilst her papa was awake, she did not talk much about Georgie. To hear about Mr. Osborne and Russell Square was not agreeable to the old man, who very likely was unconscious that he had been living for some months past mainly on the bounty of his richer rival, and lost his temper if allusion was made to the other. Dobbin told him all, and a little more perhaps than all, that had happened on board the Ramchunder, and exaggerated Joe's benevolent dispositions towards his father and resolution to make him comfortable in his old days. The truth is that during the voyage the Major had impressed this duty most strongly upon his fellow passenger and extorted promises from him that he would take charge of his sister and her child. He soothed Joe's irritation with regard to the bills which the old gentleman had drawn upon him, gave a laughing account of his own sufferings on the same score, and of the famous consignment of wine with which the old man had favored him, and brought Mr. Joe's, who was by no means an ill-natured person, when well pleased and moderately flattered, to a very good state of feeling regarding his relatives in Europe. And in fine, I am ashamed to say that the Major stretched the truth so far as to tell old Mr. Sedley that it was mainly a desire to see his parent which brought Joe's once more to Europe. At his accustomed hour Mr. Sedley began to doze in his chair, and then it was Amelia's opportunity to commence her conversation, which she did with great eagerness and related exclusively to Georgie. She did not talk at all about her own sufferings at breaking from him, for indeed, this worthy woman, though she was half killed by the separation from the child, yet thought it was very wicked in her to repine at losing him. But everything concerning him, his virtues, talents, and prospects, she poured out. She described his angelic beauty, narrated 100 instances of his generosity and greatness of mind, whilst living with her, how a royal duchess had stopped and admired him in Kensington Gardens, how splendidly he was cared for now, and how he had a groom and a pony, what quickness and cleverness he had, and what a prodigiously well-read and delightful person the Reverend Lawrence Veal was, George's master. He knows everything, Amelia said. He has the most delightful parties. You who are so learned yourself, and have read so much, and are so clever and accomplished, don't shake your head and say no. He always used to say you were, you will be charmed with Mr. Veal's parties. The last Tuesday in every month. He says there is no place in the bar or the Senate that Georgie may not aspire to. Look here, and she went to the piano drawer and drew out a theme of Georgie's composition. This great effort of genius, which is still in the possession of George's mother, is as follows. On selfishness of all the vices which degrade the human character, selfishness is the most odious and contemptible. An undue love of self leads to the most monstrous crimes and occasions the greatest misfortunes both in states and families. As a selfish man will impoverish his family, and often bring them to ruin, so a selfish king brings ruin on his people, and often plunges them into war. Example. The selfishness of Achilles, as remarked by the poet Homer, occasioned 1,000 woes to the Greeks. Il. A. 2. The selfishness of the late Napoleon Bonaparte occasioned innumerable wars in Europe, and caused him to perish, himself, in a miserable island, that of St. Helena in the Atlantic Ocean. We see by these examples that we are not to consult our own interest and ambition, but that we are to consider the interests of others as well as our own. George S. Osborne, Athene House. 24 April, 1827, think of him writing such a hand, and quoting Greek too, at his age, the delighted mother said. H. William, she added, holding out her hand to the major, what a treasure heaven has given me in that boy. He is the comfort of my life, and he is the image of him that's gone. Ought I to be angry with her for being faithful to him? William thought. Ought I to be jealous of my friend in the grave, or hurt that such a heart as Amelia's can love only once and forever? Oh, George, George, how little you knew the prize you had, though. This sentiment passed rapidly through William's mind as he was holding Amelia's hand, whilst the handkerchief was veiling her eyes. Dear friend, she said, pressing the hand which held hers, how good, how kind you always have been to me. See. Papa is stirring. You will go and see Georgie tomorrow, won't you? Not tomorrow, said poor old Dobbin. Have business. He did not like to own that he had not as yet been to his parents and his dear sister Anne, a remissness for which I am sure every well-regulated person will blame the major. And presently he took his leave, leaving his address behind him for Joe's, against the latter's arrival. And so the first day was over, and he had seen her. When he got back to the Slaughters, the roast fowl was of course cold, in which condition he ate it for supper. And knowing what early hours his family kept, and that it would be needless to disturb their slumbers at so late an hour, it is on record that Major Dobbin treated himself to half price at the Haymarket Theater that evening, where let us hope he enjoyed himself. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.